Verse 26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. At Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing, we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. We are blessed to receive another all-you-can-eat buffet in this hospital for sinners we call church. Because our spirits are always hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. Today's message is titled, Israel's Unbelief. The text is Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 13. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 10, verses 5 through 13. This is Brother Paul speaking, and I'll be reading from the NLT. It reads as follows. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about the faith, about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Amen. Let's listen with ears to hear our very own Pastor O as he delivers a message titled, Israel's Unbelief. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. Wow. Rip. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? I know everybody is great and awesome and gooder. Amen. Gooder than last week. This week got even gooder, didn't it? Yeah, so that means next week going to be gooder rest. You're going all the way to gooder rest. Yeah, I love using them words on Facebook, drive people crazy. That's no such word as gooder. Yes, it is. I just use it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see it right there, don't you? It exists. It means gooder than good. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, even in the midst of this inclement weather and all the disasters that you are sending or allowing to go on in this world. We know you're not after us, but you're plowing the fields for us. You're making the world ready to hear the message because they're scared to death. They believe something's going on, but they don't know quite what. And so you brought us here today that you might inform us so we can inform them. Bless this word, Father, to reach your people's heart and be lived out in their everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So it hears your word today. And Lord, bless my heart. So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts, they're not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed. Change the way I think to the way you think. So I can always know you're good. Your pleasing and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I get to say that every week, and I got that from listening to Joel Osteen. Amen. When I was really, really going through it and didn't want to pastor no more and didn't want to teach and write books and none of that stuff, Joel Osteen, if he can't cheer you up, you can't be cheered up. Amen. Joel Osteen, like, you go to his house and have dinner, ain't no greens, no mac and cheese, no chicken. It's all cake. Amen. Praise God. You be sugared up when you come up out of there. Amen. But that's what God called him to do. Amen. Is to be an encouragement, an encourager beyond. And I'll say, Lord, he's going to run out of messages in a week. But amen, he's still going. Amen. But that's what God called him to do. But God called Running for Christ Ministries to be a church of teaching, learning, and doing. And I thank him for that. And I do thank him for the Blog Talk Radio audience, because it's much larger. And you don't know. I thank God for all of you who help out on Blog Talk Radio, because the reach is unbelievable. And the people that we're able to teach the word of God to, for the teachers who come on there and take the time to learn how to teach and teach, okay? You have no idea how the feedback of people receiving and understanding things that they didn't know was in the Bible. That's because they have not read their Bible. I was in a counseling session this week, and I asked the person that I was in the session, have you read the Bible from beginning to end? Because they quote a lot of scriptures. So I figured, you know, you must have read the Bible to have that many scriptures. But they told me they hadn't. And, you know, Deacon Tate ran into the same thing. Somebody up at the school, he was trying to talk to them about Jesus, Marilyn, but mother, but they weren't getting it. And so I told him, take the book, Jesus Christ from his birth to his ascension, and give it to them, because they're not ready for no strong word. Even though, amen, they're Christian, they're not ready for a strong word. It will just confuse them. Because they'll jump in the Old Testament, and then the next thing you know, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't go there. And then they're asking you, how do I go to Jerusalem and make a sacrifice? See, that means you need to get back in the New Testament and find out what grace and the New Covenant is all about. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to thank everybody who helped out while Sheila and I were gone, because the Lord, I don't know if he's joking or serious, but he says, you're under the microscope. If the church fall apart while you gone, you ain't did your job. Amen. You failing, you flailing, because, amen, but y'all carried it, y'all held it down, and church kept on going, and that got me through my evaluation. Yeah, I get evaluated on y'all stuff. Amen. That's one of the reasons I didn't want to be a pastor, because remember how Jesus used to go to Moses and say, you know, Mother Martha, he would say, you know them people you brought out of Egypt? When I read that, I was like, wait a minute, what do you mean he brought out? You said you brought them out with a strong hand, but now he responsible. He was so responsible that he was kind of upset with the people that he struck the rock. Right. Rather than letting God be glorified by speaking to it and letting God be the one who brought the water, it looked like he did. That got him in trouble. He had to walk up the mountain and not come back down. Amen? Amen. So I thank you for being on point, being in your position. Praise team, amen, holding it down. Executive board holding it down. Deaconess holding it down. Amen? Everybody else holding it down. Thank you for that. Appreciate it, because you have no idea how I love a good evaluation. Amen. I don't always get them, you know, usually the bad part be my fault, but not yours, but my fault. I dropped the ball, but anyway, you know, amen. But we all make mistakes, right? Ain't nobody perfect. Amen. Now, we know we're in the book of Romans, and the Lord wants you to memorize this book, because he says, if I can memorize it with no memory, you can. And the reason he wants you to memorize this book is because it's an excellent treatise or lesson on how we are made right with God. And after we get through 9, 10, and 11, those parentheses chapters, then we'll get to chapter 12, how you live for God. So it's theology up front, and it's practical application in the end. And if you read Paul's books, I'm sure you've noticed that he will give you the theology, he will give you the theory, he will give you the God, right? And then he'll give you how to live for God, how to take that and put it into your everyday life. Okay. Because that's what the Lord wants. That's what he evaluates us on every single day. How well did we apply a rhema word to our situation? Did we know which word of God to call on for this situation? Or were we just like Peter, Lord, save me? Amen. That'll work. But Jesus did what? He gave Peter a teaching moment after that. He let Peter know how he sank. Jesus always do that. He'll come rescue you, and then he'll make a teaching moment out of it. What did he ask Peter? What was the teaching moment? I love it from the King James Version. Wherefore didst thou doubt? I like that. It took me a week to even understand what he said. Amen, but why did you doubt? You were walking. Have you been like that in life? You're walking along and everything's going good. Then you take that hard left. And just like Peter, you don't have no faith in Jesus. You're not listening to God. You're doing your own thing. And then it goes super crazy. And you scream out, Lord, save me. You know, I love hearing Dr. Tony Evans talk about Chronicles 15. When the people were without a teaching priest. In other words, they didn't have nobody teaching them. And I tripped out, Eric, when I saw that. Deacon Reed, I tripped out when I saw that God was troubling them with every kind of trouble. I'm like, so you doing it? He said, yeah, but they were without a teaching priest. It wouldn't be trouble if they had a teaching priest. But they were without a teaching priest for a long time. And so they're in trouble. Amen? Okay. That's what happens to us. When we try to navigate through life without letting the Word of God lead us. When the Word of God is not a lamp, okay, and a light to our feet, if we have not acknowledged the Lord in the ways that we're going, amen, then we don't get what God said we get. If we use the lamp and the light, we can see where we're going, right?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And if we acknowledge to Him where we're going, He can direct our paths. We like Abraham. We going somewhere we've never been. Amen. This Star Trek. Going somewhere we've never gone before. Amen. You have not lived this life before. No matter what the Hindus might try to teach us about, you know, you was here before or deja vu or anything like that. You haven't been here before. This is it. You might have a deja vu moment, but you have not been here before. This is not your second time around. You get to be Nicole this time. Don't even know what you could have been a butterfly last time. Now you're Nicole. Amen. No, this is it. This is it. The one and only time that we get going through here. So in chapter 1, Paul does what? Two things. Introduce himself to them. Comes with that verse, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the only way to be made right with God. It's the only power on earth that exists that can reconnect us to God. Okay, Gentiles, ignorance is no excuse. Chapter 2, the Jews. Amen. He brings them into the indictment. And by the time you get to chapter 3, verses 9 through 19, everybody is guilty of sin. But God has provided a way out in the latter part of chapter 3. And that's Jesus Christ, faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. That is what makes us right with God. Remember that. Hold on to that, because that's going to come up in Romans chapter 10. One thing is with your mouth. The other thing is lived out in your life. And that's how you mature in Christ. That's how you become who Christ is working to turn you into. Chapter 4, well, it's just as if we've never sinned. Why? Because by faith, we've been justified. And because we've been justified, chapter 5, now we have peace with God. And now that all of that is settled, chapter 6, 7, and 8, we got to live for God. Chapter 6 tells us the mechanics of how that works. You used to belong to the devil, and he told you what to do. Now you belong to Jesus Christ, and he tells you what to do. Chapter 7 shows that my spirit and my soul, well, my spirit is in love with the Lord and accepts his word. But my flesh, not so much. And so there's going to be a Galatians 5 with Pastor Jonathan Tate preached not too long ago. There's going to be a battle. But the flesh don't want to do what the flesh want to do. And then the spirit is like, I'm not doing that. And so there's the conundrum. I'm saved, but still want to sin. Amen. So therein lies the rub. How do we do what's right? So we come to Romans chapter 8 and we find out that we're going to have to put on our big boy, big girl clothes. Amen. We're going to have to make a choice to follow Jesus. It's as simple as that. God ain't going to miraculously do nothing to you. You're going to have to make a choice to follow Jesus or not. The choice is going to come up. Do I cuss them out or not? Amen. Do I cuss them out or not? Do I tell this lie or not? Do I entertain this gossip or not? All day, every day, we face those kinds of choices. And guess what? If you read Revelation, God got books. Things is being recorded in those books. Now, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, so we pretty much ain't got to worry about on that end what's in them books. Because of what Jesus did. But what about our daily walk? You reap what you sow. That don't go away. Excuse me. If I throw a brick up in the air and don't move, I'm finna reap what I sowed. And it ain't gonna be nice. Amen? And then as soon as that brick hit me in the head, Jesus gonna come over there and heal me because I'm gonna say, Jesus, ouch! Hey, he gonna come over there and heal me, right? But the brick still hit me in the head. Now I gotta recover from that. Right. Amen. Okay. So chapter 8 tells us if we follow after the Holy Spirit, and when it says that, it means that we can do that. God would not, it's not gonna be easy. Because your flesh is like, I ain't doing nothing for the Lord. I don't like the Lord, I just like me and what I want to do. Okay, but Paul says, I beat down my flesh. Yes. I tell my flesh what to do. I tell my flesh, we're going to take the trash out. I don't care what you say. Amen. We have that power from God. Now imagine this, when we weren't saved, we didn't have that power. Because Romans chapter 6 clearly states that we were sold out to sin. And when sin said jump, we was already in there. Amen. How hard did you have to be convinced by sin to lie? Sin didn't have to struggle. Now, isn't that something? God had to struggle to get us not to lie. But when sin said, just tell him anything, we told him anything. But when it comes to God, amen, telling us what to do, then there's a problem. But when sin tells us what to do, no problem. Why? Because that's what we want to do. But God is asking us to do what we don't want to do. So that means we have to deny ourselves. And if we're going to follow the Lord, we got to do what? Take up his word, the cross, and bear it. And follow him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Then when we get to chapter 9, well, before we leave chapter 8, God tells us, look, it's all you're going to win in the end. And everything bad the devil make happen to you, I'm going to make it work for your good.
Okay.
Amen. And God guarantees us that our stupidity, some demon stupidity, or something else in existence, none of it can separate us from God. Now, that's an encourager for us. Because how many know this life is filled, like Jesus said, with trials and tribulations? Constantly. How would you be feeling this morning if you lived in Florida and you got out your house and you came back and you're like, where my house at? And then somebody point and say, oh, I think that's your rubble over there. Now you homeless. And y'all know how we do. Most of us check to check, right?
Right.
So when disaster happened, we ain't ready. So think about all those folks down there who did not have flood insurance, because in Florida, flood insurance costs as much as your house. And most insurance companies are leaving. And think about the people in North Carolina who was like, I'm glad I don't live in Florida, but now they flooded out. Me and Sheila was right in that place. We got pictures. When our church went down to Asheville, North Carolina, we got pictures of the Great Rock, the Big Rock, or whatever they called it. We went inside of a mountain and went up an elevator. I was scared to death because I'm claustrophobic. But I didn't tell Sheila I was just standing brave, but I was scared to death. I'm like, Jesus, we got to get out of this elevator. I'm finna faint. I'm finna faint, Jesus. I need one on the floor. Like, hey, man. We was right there. But what we saw was beautiful. But the aftermath of what we saw was unrecognizable. Amen? And the hurricane didn't reach them, but the rains. And what about the people in Florida who was, they had told them to get as high as you can to avoid the storm surge. But then a gaggle of tornadoes broke out. And then they told them to go into the basement, the lowest point of the house, and away from doors and windows and things. None of it worked. Amen. That's when your faith gonna have to work. Amen. So God has guaranteed us no matter what happens in this life, we make it to heaven. And how do we know God guaranteed that? Go read Revelation chapter 4, where God has already said that we are standing around his throne. Right there in Revelation chapter 4. Amen. So no matter what we go through living for Jesus in this life, God got us. Now in Romans chapter 9, Dr. Tony Evans, if you read his commentary, he puts those three chapters in like a parenthesis. And then like, again, if you study Paul's writings, no other book is like this. It's like he's just having a sad conversation that really have nothing to do with 1 through 8 and 12 through 16. But yet it does. Why? How far are you going to go without God's chosen people? Amen. And he begins his lament. He even wishes that he could be accursed from God if they could be saved. What I picked up from that is, how bad do we want people saved? Okay. How bad does it bother us when we know people are not saved? Do we just say, well, they're going to go to heaven anyway because they're good people? They don't bother nobody. They're good people.
All right,
but Jesus over in John chapter 14 says, nobody comes to the Father but by me. So your Muslim cousin, they ain't going to heaven. Huh? Your little Buddha sitting over there in the corner trying to find peace, running around with the Sikhs, trying to help everybody they can. That's their ethos so that they can make it to heaven. And you can believe Oprah if you want to. And think it's 57 ways to be saved and Jesus is just one way. That is calling Jesus a liar to his face.
Amen.
He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I don't care how much money you got, how much fame you got. You're not changing that for me. And I thank God for the little white girl that got up and challenged Oprah right in her face. You're wrong. You say there's more than one way, but the Bible don't say that. God had a Hebrew girl, amen, in the audience. Somebody to stand up and represent him. And that's what God wants us to do in the culture, is to represent him. But God's people, remember, 9, 10, and 11 is about three things. It's about sonship, it's about rejection, and it's about restoration. And they rejected God, even though they had the sonship. They had elected by God to be. Even though they had the covenants of God. Even though they had the laws of God. Even though they had the patriarchs. Even though they had the beatific vision where God came and spoke to them. The glory on the mountain. Even though they had all of that, They are a curse from God. Why? Because they don't believe in Jesus. Jesus makes the difference. And then the Lord spoke to them about his sovereign, how sovereign he is. You know, the question was asked, well, if God raised up Pharaoh and hardened his heart, then how can God accuse him of doing wrong since he was made that way? No, God foreknowledge knew he would be that way.
Amen.
God ain't made nobody evil.
Okay.
Amen. God did not make Pharaoh evil. Pharaoh wanted to be evil. Pharaoh was warned 10 times by Moses, let my people go. Any one of them times, he could have let them go. But no, he going to fight with God. Why? Because he's Ra. God is man on earth. And he hurried up and found out that God controlled life and death. See, all the rest of that stuff, amen, had to do with property and cattle and all that stuff. But in that last one, when God went in Pharaoh's house and snatched that firstborn son up out that body, then Pharaoh's like, okay, he is God. Amen. But what's the devil, though? The devil like, oh, no, you ain't finna quit. Oh, please, that's your workforce. Who gonna do the work, Pharaoh? Who gonna make Egypt great? Now, the Egyptians had discovered steam power back in 2000 BCE, right? But they chose to use manpower. They ignored it. Oh man, studying history will teach you a lot of things. We think we're modern today. They were kind of modern, could have been modern. For instance, they had aqueducts that brought water from everywhere to the city and inside the houses, some of them. But when the barbarians, those who weren't Roman, the Goths, the Vandals, the Saxons, and all these people, when they attacked Rome to have, because they wanted what Rome had, the failure of potato crops and everything else made them hungry. They ain't had nothing to lose. They attacked Rome. And guess what they did when they won? They tore it all up. It all got tore up and had to be rebuilt. So they had all of this, and God had elected them. And God has foreknowledge. That's why he says over there, what? Esau, I've hated, and Jacob, I've loved. Because God knows. Amen? But everybody has the opportunity to serve him. God does not make it hard to go to heaven.
Amen.
God said all you got to do is believe. We make it hard because we want people to jump through our little spiritual hoops. Okay, we make it hard. We tell people, you got to speak in tongues to be saved. No, you don't. The tongues is a gift from God, and ain't everybody don't have it. And everybody don't even have the gift to interpret tongues. Even the person who speaks in tongues don't have the gift, might not have the gift. And all the Lord is saying is, look, I know you got the gift, but when you use the gift, like T.D. Jakes will hurry up and I don't know what you're saying. What is that supposed to mean to me? Or am I supposed to think you're super spiritual because you spoke in tongues? Please, a dog might as well come up to me and go, rah, rah, rah. Sound the same. Sound the same. Or one of them cats could be outside, sound like a little baby. Oh, that stuff be tripping me out. When they get ready to fight, they make some funny noise. But what does that mean to me? Unless the cat come up and say, oh, you heard me and my boy out here last night going at it. Well, check this out. He came over my house, stole my candy bar, and then act like he didn't. So we had a fight. And he told me he didn't. I told him he did. That's what all you heard was, nah, nah, nah. Amen. That's why the Lord say we have to have an interpreter. Other than that, it just sound crazy. Amen. And then we come to chapter 10. And you know, the Bible didn't have, what, chapters and verses until, what, the 1500s? It was fully developed. They started in the 1200s. Amen, under some French guy. But it ended with William Tyndale, right, when they fully developed his thoroughly readable English Bible into chapters. They did that to help us. They wanted to help us memorize the Bible. But the point I'm making is in chapter 10 is a continuation of chapter 9. And so he starts 10 with saying, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. That is my heart's desire for Israel, is that they might be saved. But they are going about to establish their own righteousness. Anybody got any Jehovah's Witnesses in their family? God says my heart's desire is for the Jehovah's Witnesses to be saved. But they're going about trying to establish their own righteousness. Anybody got any Muslims in their family? Amen. God's desire for the Muslim is to be saved, but they're doing what? Going about to establish their own righteousness. They're going to bust up in heaven talking about, I lived right for you, Lord. I don't need no Jesus. I live the righteousness of Jesus in my everyday life. So let me in. You're going to be standing at the white throne judgment, and ain't no indoor for them from the, it's an outdoor from there. There ain't no indoor. There's only one door, and it's going to be over there, and it's going to have out on it. And that's the door you're going out of.
Yes, amen.
God has established his righteousness through his son, Jesus. And if you're going to be made right with God, it's going to only be through Jesus. So I know that sound. How can you just say only one God? It's only one way to get to heaven, because God said
it.
You show me what God said, there's another way, and I'm with it.
Yep.
But if the Bible stays the same, and I read where no man comes to the Father but by me, he who has the Son has the Father, he who does not have the Son does not have the Father either. Jesus said over in John chapter 8, if you believed in me, then you would do the works that Abraham did. But since you're going about trying to kill me, you ain't got no connection to Abraham just because you're a Jew. Those who truly belong to Abraham, they believe in righteousness by faith. They believe doing what God says makes you right. Not you doing something what you think is right and trying to please God. And so Paul says that his heart's desire, and this should be our heart's desire, for everybody who is out of Christ to be saved. Not go to hell because they're crazy. How many people want Trump to be saved? Hey, see, amen. We working on it. We almost there, Jesus. Almost everybody want him saved. Amen. Jesus wants him saved. Imagine this. Trump like Paul or Saul, right? Jesus won't turn him into Paul. You know all the lies that Trump constantly tell? Y'all ain't getting no help down there in North Carolina or Florida. They done spent the money on the illegal immigrants. That ain't nothing but a lie. And there are people who are hurt by that lie. Yeah, I know, you know, he killed me when he started trying to fly. That's when I know he lying, when this stuff start. You know, Barack Obama said he killed me with these crowds. You can tell when he's getting ready to start lying and flailing, the flying start, the crazy birds start. Amen. But God wants everybody you look at saved. If they're not saved, he wants them saved. So Paul says, my heart's desire is for Israel to be saved. These are my own brothers and sisters. These are the elect. Amen? But they have rejected him. How do you reject God? By not accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul says, what does the word say? Do not say, watch this, pay attention. Do not say in your heart, who will go up to heaven and bring Christ down? Like Jesus, the one that was here, didn't come down from heaven. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 6, I didn't come here on my own, but I was sent. Amen? That's why I'm here. God sent me here to save you. I'm the sent one. So Paul says, you don't need to go to heaven. Do you know the Jews today are still waiting on Jesus to come? They don't believe that Jesus Christ, his last name wasn't Christ, it's just simply his title, his anointed one. They don't believe that he is the Christ. And so they're waiting for a man, a child to be born. They're waiting for the Savior to come into the world. And the Savior is here. All us Gentiles running around here screaming, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But they're telling us the Jesus you believe in ain't the Jesus that's to come, and we still waiting. I remember a man screamed out in John 7 or 8, I think it was in 7, he says, when the Messiah comes. Because they was having that same argument, Ali. They said, when the Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than this man? Jesus said they would not be condemned if I did not come and do those things that nobody else ever did. They would be innocent. But because I did those things that nobody else ever did, and these were the signs of the Messiah. It's funny how some Jews saw it and ran with it. Other Jews saw it and ran away from it. Amen. And so God still today is trying to reach the Jews. God still today is trying to reach those who are trying to make themselves right with him outside of Christ. Ed, we can't be made. I know I can't. I need Jesus. 24/7, 365. I need Jesus to be right with God. Because I can, amen, I ain't right all day. I know y'all surprised and shocked because you thought I was perfect. But I ain't right all day. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Boy, nut is a fruitcake. Here, ask Janet. She done had conversations with me. That boy ain't right all the time. She done had to deal with me. Ask Nicole. Nicole, that boy ain't right all the time. Man, you have to tell him stuff. Amen. I'll repent, though. Amen. I need Jesus 24/7, 365, because Pastor O mess up on purpose sometimes, and sometimes by mistake, I mess up. A mess up is a mess up. I don't wore 1 John 1:9 out. If it could be wore out, I wore it out. Amen. But you know what? Every time I confess my sin, Jesus said, okay, like Pastor Barlow told me when I told him, the Lord done pulled me up out the garbage and even set me on the solid rock. Pastor Barlow stopped my flow and said, yeah, well, don't go get back in the garbage. How many know I went and got in the garbage 6 more times? Six more times. Praise God. Amen. So Paul says, you know, you don't have to go down and bring him up like Christ didn't get up. His disciples stole the body. Really? What they do with it? Amen. How are they going to produce a risen Christ? Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to jack the crap out of me. I'm going to be jack crap, right? But on the third day, I'm going to get back up. Well, if the disciples got his body, then they can't never show a risen Jesus. But guess what? He was seen, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, that he was seen above, what, 500 people. And in AD 55, Paul says some of them are still alive. So they are eyewitnesses to the risen Christ. So don't say in your heart, who's going to go down to the depths, to Hades, or to Sheol, and bring him back up from the abode of the dead. But what does the word say? It's near you. It's in your heart. That if you, what? Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. And if you confess out your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Because with your heart, you believe and you're made right with God. But confession is made with your mouth about Jesus Christ. You know, it was a long time that I really didn't understand that until Dr. Evans broke that thing down all the way down. He broke it down, down, low. He was doing the Kroger thing. He was low, low. He broke it all the way down. he broke it all the way down. Amen. See, we like to use that verse to lead people to Christ. If you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, you know, Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead, you're going to be saved, right?
Right?
We like to use that to lead people to Christ. But the first part is good. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved, right? But that's salvation. That other word, saved, amen, is not talking about salvation. Because who is this letter written to, the what at Rome? The church at Rome. So they're already saved. So what is Paul talking about? You'll be saved. You know what he's talking about? You will mature in Christ. And how do you mature in Christ? You read the Bible, okay, and then you say out of your mouth what the Bible says. What is that? That's transformation. That's transforming the way you think. That's changing your mind. You may have thought that way about a thing, but now you're saved. And now you tell people, I thought this way. For instance, how did Paul demonstrate his salvation? We know on the Damascus Road, him and Jesus had a little talk with Jesus. Made it all right, right? Went down to his boy Judas' house on Straight Street. Ananias came down and gave him his sight back. So is that the end of it? No. You know what Paul did? For Galatians chapter 1 tells us he went to the deserts of Arabia, and guess what? For 3 years or so, Jesus taught him face to face. He went to Bible class. And then after Paul left Bible class, guess what he started? He started confessing out of his mouth what he learned in Bible class. So you're saved. You're matured. You're becoming more of who God sent you here to be. Do you know, we don't know ourselves. But God clearly knows us. Said about Jeremiah, before your mother and father formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew all about you. Before your mother and father formed you in the womb, I knew you. Oh, and it got gooder. I set you apart for my service. Before you were born, Darius, the Lord picked you. Before you even got here. Like, that's my guy. Yeah, that's my guy. You know, he told the angels, set him apart because he's going to serve me. And the angel's like, but he ain't born. They're like, okay, God, whatever you say. So he got set apart. And then the Lord said, ordain him. And guess what? He ordained him to be a deacon. Amen?
Amen.
All that happened before he was born. So it wasn't based on how good or bad Darius was. It was based on God's foreknowledge. Amen. When we walk in the Word, when we show the world Jesus by living as a Christian ought to, amen, then we demonstrate that we're saved. But if we out there cussing, lying, on the job, the worst employee in the world, go to work and get 8 hours and ain't work one. I'm talking about myself. I don't know y'all. I don't go to work with y'all. I don't know what's up. But I know when I went to work, Nicole, I wanted a check. I ain't want no work. I went to work for a check. And that's what I told people. I'm here for a check, Jonathan. That's what I want. I want a check. I ain't here for no work. That stuff make you tired. Plus, I don't want to do it. Just give me my check and let me go. I've been here 5 days. Why are you tripping? But when I started working for Jesus, when I read Colossians chapter 3, and I'm like, Jesus, I don't work like that. I only work when, the Bible said, don't work just when they're looking at you. But when they're not looking at you, I'm like, I don't work when they're looking at me. Amen. Let alone when they ain't looking at me. But the word, it attacked me. I'm like, see, Jesus, you should have never taught me that. You messing my life up. You changing my whole life. I used to say stuff to him like that. You are changing my whole life. You're making everything different. You know, we laugh about it now, but back then I was serious. Back in 77, I'll never forget telling him, you messing my life up. Every time you teach me something, what I used to do, I can't do no more. I go to try to do it, and it don't work the same. Why are you doing this? That's those kind of conversations we were having. You're telling Jesus, you know, you're just changing everything about me. It's to the place where people even tell me, you're not the same. I'm like, you see what you're doing? I don't even know who I am. That's because I never knew who I was until I met him.
Okay.
I thought I was sweet G's. I thought I was a drug dealer. I thought I was a womanizer. I thought I was a professional liar. Amen. I thought I was all kinds of crazy stuff. But then I met Jesus, got saved, and started reading his word, and started living saved. Change. That's what the Lord wants. Change. So Paul is saying, look, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will not be ashamed. They will be saved. They will be changed. Amen. Now, like Jesus told me, Cheryl, he told me a whole, Mother O'Brien, he told me a whole, Hamilton, he told me a whole lot of times. You know what he said? Hey, he's as young as I used to be. Take me 2-3 times. Amen. Amen. He said, look, we're going to do this. Now, we can do this the hard way, or we can do this the easy way. You know what my wife grandmother told me? Y'all remember, right? Reverend Overall, seemed like you like to do everything the hard way. Amen. That's the way it was. I was fighting against Jesus turning me into who I'm going to be forever. That's who he's transforming us into. Not to who we're going to be today, tomorrow, next week, that too, but forever. He's focused on Revelation 21 and 22. I told y'all, read that and see the end. Then you'll understand your walk there. Then you'll be encouraged as you walk there. Read it. See what God got planned for us in the end. I don't know if I'm out of time or not. How can they hear? How can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? So when y'all go out today and you find people who don't believe, let them hear the message. Because consequently, faith comes by what? Hearing the message about Jesus Christ. So don't stop preaching the message. Even if the whole world say you can be saved just because you want to, that's not the truth. Amen. You're saved by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So let's go out there and keep telling them. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for what you are doing in our lives right now. For all the work you have done in our life in the past. And Father, we are greatly encouraged because we know that you're going to do work in our future. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for sharing with us today these insights into your word. And we pray that they just become more than insights, but become our lived life. In Jesus' name, we thank you for everything. Amen.
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 Sarah, like Janice.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.
Cupcake Vineyards grow their grapes in the finest wine regions on earth, like Marlborough, New Zealand, for their Sauvignon Blanc. It's called Cupcake. Okay. Cupcake Vineyards. Serious wine, unserious name. Copyright 2024. Cupcake Vineyards, Livermore, California.